Turn your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, or get your iPhone or device out. 2 Corinthians 9, and then later we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're in a series called Real, as you saw a moment ago, Relevant, Engaging, Authentic Life. This is the last one in that series, and then next weekend again is our marriage conference. But I just want to say this. Don't let this just be a good series. Don't just remember the funny story, you know, like the lady on the ski lift, you know, that I witnessed to or something, and say, well, wasn't that a funny story? Let the series change us. Let's all get more excited and begin praying about witnessing and sharing our faith. Think about it. We're on this earth as ambassadors for Christ. I mean, the Lord could just, as soon as you get saved, just take us on to heaven. But he leaves us here because his desire is for every person to come to know Christ, and we're his only hope. I don't know if you ever thought about that. We're it. If we are not salt and light, as we talked about, the world's in trouble. And we have the greatest story to tell, and that's his story and what he's done in our life. So we talked about relevant fishermen. We talked about engaging influencers, salt and light. We talked last week about authentic witnesses. This is the last one in the series, life-giving farmers. Every week I've chosen an analogy to use, and this week it's farmers. And the reason is because farmers know that when they plant seeds, they're planting seeds of life. Witnesses, believers, know that when they share the gospel, they are planting seeds of life. And that seed might not come up right then, but eventually it might come up. And also when we witness, we might not be just planting, we might be watering a seed that someone else has planted. But at some point, that seed could be harvested, that person could be saved. So 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now, this is a chapter that is talking about financial giving. If you read the whole chapter, he is talking about giving their finances to the kingdom. And he uses the analogy of sowing and reaping. But this analogy works in any area of your life. If you're a student, studying is sowing. Don't expect to reap a good grade if you don't sow, if you don't study, right? If you're whatever job you do, don't expect to get a promotion or a raise if you're not a hard worker and you're diligent. That's sowing and reaping. If you're married, don't expect to have a good marriage if you're not kind and humble and you'll yield and you'll work through situations. You're not stubborn. You got to sow to be able to reap. So it works in every area. What about the area of witnessing? See, I think all of us would love to lead people to Christ. That's the reaping part. But hear me, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Let me say it another way. If you witness sparingly, then you win people to Christ sparingly. Just a few. If you witness bountifully, then you win people to Christ bountifully. Are y'all following me? So I'm going to share with you three very simple. They're going to be like kind of like the fishing message. You know, you put your bait in the water, put your hook in the water. Okay, they're very simple. Three laws about sowing and reaping. And they're very simple. You can probably remember them because there's only one word different in each point. All right, so here's the first one. Again, they're simple, but you reap what you sow. I know it's simple, but you reap what you sow. In other words, you can answer me on this. If you sow corn, what are you going to reap? Corn. All right. So if you saw a farmer standing in the field and there's no crop yet and he's standing there, and so you say, so what are you expecting to come up in this field? And he says, wheat. You say, oh, so you planted wheat? No, I planted corn. But I'm expecting wheat. Okay. He's got a screw loose. Something's wrong, right? If you plant corn, you're going to, okay, it's this simple. If you plant the gospel, you're going to reap souls. You reap what you sow. It's so simple, and yet we don't seem to understand it. Now, again, this is in a chapter on giving. If you look at verse 7, the very next verse, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes it in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Okay, so it's all about finances. Here's the thing about Gateway Church. Most people that come to Gateway Church have had a breakthrough in the area of giving. We're an extremely generous church. So you already know this principle when it comes to finances. You know, if you sow finances, you reap finances. If you sow kindness, you reap kindness. If you sow forgiveness, you reap forgiveness. So you already know this. All I'm asking you to do is apply a principle that you're already mature in other areas to witnessing. Every one of us here want to win people to Christ, but you can't reap where you haven't sown. That's why it's so simple. It's like, boy, I hear Pastor Robert, if you sharing all these stories about these people you win to Christ, and I would love to win people to Christ. Well, you got to reap, you got to sow, you got to put some seed in the ground. Now, when I shared these testimonies, like I said, and normally at the end of every point, you may have noticed this after years of listening to me, I normally have an illustration. So I have several illustrations of people I've won to the Lord. But on this point, when as I prayed about it, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you this that I'm about to share as an illustration. So this is how I'm going to illustrate this, okay? I have witnessed to a lot of people that I haven't won to the Lord. That's my illustration. And wasn't that good? So why am I sharing that? Because you don't always win them. Sometimes I'm just planting. And I try to plant everywhere I go. You can't imagine. My wife can tell you. I normally get my story in to everyone somehow. Somehow. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. I'm going to slip in there. You know, I used to be on drugs, and now I'm a pastor. And sometimes they say, okay. You know, they don't care. That's okay. They're not ready to be reaped yet. But sometimes they say, what? You're a pastor and you used to be on drugs. See, I'm just going to, everywhere I go. So I just want you to know that I don't win everyone to the Lord that I talk with, but I talk to a lot of people because I'm planting seeds. And you reap what you sow. If you sow the gospel, you will reap souls. But if you don't sow the gospel, you'll probably never lead anyone to Christ. So you reap what you sow. Okay, here's point number two. Very simple. You reap after you sow. Okay, let's just imagine again the farmer's in the field, and you say to him, what are you doing? Well, I'm waiting for my crop to come up. What are you waiting for? Corn. So you planted corn. Nope, just waiting for it to come up. Well, you reap after you sow. You have to plant before you harvest. Are y'all following this message? See, all these Christians want to win people to Christ, but they never talk to anyone about him. They never share the gospel. Do you know that many people don't even know the gospel? When Dr. Brooks was here and he did the Saturday morning thing, he passed out a thing to these students and said, what's the gospel? He got all sorts of stuff. It's love. It's a good feeling. One guy said, it's hard to put into words. Aren't you glad God didn't say that? How do I get to heaven? Well, it's hard to put into words. No, he said it very plainly. Repent and believe in Jesus. The gospel, and this is what Rice taught us, the gospel is that God became a man in Jesus Christ, and he lived the life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we should have died, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God, and he offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who will repent and believe. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And we need to learn that so we can very simply tell that, because God's word never returns void. The reason we're not seeing a harvest is because we're not planting. And you can't reap before you sow. You reap after you sow. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, I told you I'd be in 1 Corinthians 3. If you want to look at it, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is having to straighten them out because they're saying, well, I'm a disciple of Paul, or I'm a disciple of Apollos, who's another apostle. And he was trying to say, no, you're disciples of Jesus. God might have used Paul and Apollos in your life, but you're a disciple of Jesus. But I want you to notice again this sowing and reaping and then this watering concept. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? You're just being fleshly. You're being immature, he's saying, not spiritual. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? Now watch this. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In other words, God saved you. Sometimes when I go to campuses and greet people, people will say to me, Pastor Robert, you saved me. Now, I know what they're saying, and I understand, and I don't correct them. It's okay. But actually, God saved you. But maybe he used me. But who is Paul? Who is Apollos? And I don't want to put myself there, but who is any pastor except someone that God uses? I planted someone, another pastor or another Christian or someone at your work. Maybe they planted, someone else watered. Maybe I'm the one that you got saved when you came here. But it's God that saves you. Matter of fact, I memorized long ago when I first got saved, Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins souls is wise. Now, I memorized in the old King James, he that winneth souls is wiseth. No, just wise. It says wise. But he who wins souls is wise. And I would say, I'm going to be a soul winner. I want to be a soul winner. And that's not bad. But I just remember reading through the Bible one time, and I'd been thinking about, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a soul winner. He who wins souls is wise. And I got to 1 Timothy 1:17, and it says, to God who alone is wise. And when I put those two verses together, he that wins souls is wise, and God's the only one that's wise. Now, I know God gives wisdom. I know we pray for wisdom. I know the scriptures make us wise. I know we seek wisdom. I understand that. But really, God's the only one that's really wise. So what I'm saying is, God's the soul winner. I'm the one that witnesses. I'm the one that plants. I'm the one that waters. And I might even be the one that gets to lead someone to the one who wins their soul, to the one who saves their soul, to Christ. So he's the one. So we plant and we water. So sometimes you're planting, sometimes you're watering. Over the holidays, I was praying about what God was saying about 2018. And I shared this a little bit with you at the first message in this series. But the Lord took me to John 4 about the harvest and about planting and harvesting. And let me read you just a little bit of it. John 4, verses 35 through 38. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? I want you to hear this as a word to our church. Behold, I say to you, to Gateway Church, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages or rewards and gathers fruit for eternal life. Now watch this, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you've not labored. Others have labored and you've not entered into labors. Here's what he's saying. You're going to reap some people that you're not the ones that planted the seed in them. But one sows, another reaps. But they both, I'm going to show you scripture in just a moment, 1 Corinthians 3, we'll go back to that. Here's what it says. Both will receive a reward from the Lord. Both will receive a reward. So, and it says, sometimes you reap where someone else has sown. So sometimes I've met people just ready to get saved. I mean, they're just ready. And what I know is I didn't sow in this case. Someone else has been sowing this person's life. And I'm just the one the Lord is using now to bring this person to Christ. I was at Best Buy one time, buying something that was best. I think. So, and I was standing there, no one behind us in line, checking out. And I just said, like I do a lot of times, I said, hey, if you don't have a good church, I want to invite you to my church. And this young lady, in her 20s probably, she goes like this. And then she leans over and says, I need to go to church. So I went. I can help you. I know where a church is. I didn't know what she was, you know, looking for. But then she does it again. She goes, I also need to be saved. So I said, I can help you. And I led her to the Lord right there at the cash register. Now, I don't know, when we prayed, you know, she might have prayed like this. I don't know. I don't know what that was about, but maybe she was thinking, I'm not supposed to be talking about things like this at work. I don't know. But she got saved, and she came to church, okay? So here's someone that just said to me, I need to be saved. Okay, why? Now, here's what, please hear my hardness. You might think, nothing like that ever happens to me. Okay, I'm going to ask you just straight out. How much do you plant? How much do you sow? I reap all the time, but I plant all the time. Everywhere I go, I'm trying to talk to everyone. I'm like the people that are in a multi-market, multi-level business, you know, except I'm not in that. Everybody I meet is a potential soul for the kingdom of God. I'm going to try to get the gospel in somehow. You're in trouble if you see me at Walmart. I'm coming after you. Here's the third one. Again, it's real simple. You reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. Now, this is a principle in Scripture. If you plant an apple seed, you don't get back one apple seed. In God's economy, you get back a tree with many apples. Each apple has many seeds. You always get more. If you only got back what you planted, it takes 2 kernels of corn to grow a stalk with 5 to 6 years, ears with 200 to 300 kernels on each ear. Okay, so if you only got back what you planted, we'd starve to death, right? So God has it where you sow just a little bit and you get back a whole lot more. So you can feed a lot of people and then still have more to plant. That's God's economy. You always get back more than you plant. Have you ever heard of a guy named John Chapman? Well, let me give you his nickname. You probably heard of him, Johnny Appleseed. So for 50 years, he travels across the country planting apple orchards. What many people don't know is he was an adamant Christian and he witnessed everywhere he went. So he was planting more than just apple seeds. He was planting the gospel. As a matter of fact, they say he's responsible for more Native Americans accepting Christ than any other white person because he shared his faith everywhere he went. And they left him alone because he was also planting apple seeds that helped them and helped their tribe. But also they left him alone because word spread that he knew the Great Spirit. And he did. The real one. So he just travels around. But think about all these seeds he planted, but how many apples now have come up? So I'm just saying you reap more. Okay, so when I think about that, I think, well, how does that work with the gospel? Remember planting and watering. Let me show you this scripture I want to show you. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 8. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and watch, each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So let me explain some things and then illustrate to you. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you failed if the person doesn't accept Jesus. Because winning souls is really God's business. He's the one that saves people. Our business is planting and watering. Planting seeds and watering seeds that have already been planted. But God's really the only one that can bring a person to Christ. That person has a will, and that person can accept Christ, and then Christ saves them. So if you try to lead someone to the Lord and the person doesn't get saved, don't ever let the devil tell you you failed, because you did the only thing you could do, and that was either plant or water. And my whole motivation in this message is to get us to plant more seeds and water more seeds, to get us to share our faith. And if we'll share our faith, God does the rest. He does it. I asked you all ago if you'd ever heard of John Chapman. Have you ever heard of a guy named Edward Kimball? So here, I'm going to share it with you about him, but let me just say, to set this up, you reap more than you sow, but when it comes to witnessing, I remember thinking, it doesn't seem that way, God. Now, wouldn't you agree with that? It seems like that we witness to more people than actually get saved. But why doesn't the law of harvest work in witnessing? Well, it does. And I'm going to show you how it does. See, we don't know how many people actually get saved from the one seed that we plant. Because we don't know if that person down the road gets saved, and then his family gets saved, and we don't know if one of his family becomes an evangelist, and hundreds or thousands get saved. So have you ever heard of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. One day he witnessed to a shoe salesman named Dwight L. Moody. D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody accepted Christ. D.L. Moody then was preaching, and Frederick B. Meyer accepted Christ and became an evangelist. Frederick B. Meyer then preached, and Wilbur Chapman accepted Christ. Wilbur Chapman then ministered to a baseball player who came to Christ and became an evangelist named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday then went to Charlotte, North Carolina, held this great crusade. Thousands of people came, hundreds of people saved. So they said, "Will you come back?" He said, "I can't come back. My schedule's too full." But he sent a young man that he had led to Christ named Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham goes back to North Carolina, preaches revival, but hardly anybody comes, and only one little boy accepted Christ. His name was Billy Graham. It all started because a Sunday school teacher shared Jesus with a shoe salesman. And then D.L. Moody won thousands to Christ. Frederick B. Meyer, Billy Sunday, and then Billy Graham. It's amazing what God does. I'm just asking you to share your faith, because I want you to know something. When you plant a seed, hundreds and thousands of people could be saved. I've told most of you at some point, but may not remember, on my mother's side, we have church planters and missionaries. On my father's side, we have rum runners and alcoholics. Except my father got saved. But the way he got saved was when my grandfather worked for the Texas Highway Department. His job was to put asphalt in potholes. He worked with a man named Ray Alexander. Ray Alexander shared Christ with my grandfather. He said, "I'd like for you to come over tonight after dinner so I could show you in the Bible what I'm telling you." So my grandfather decided to go. My father asked if he could drive him. My father was 16 years old. Never been to church, never heard the name Jesus except as a curse word. So my father goes over, drives my grandfather, and sits on the front porch. And as Ray Alexander, this deacon from a Baptist church, shared Christ with my grandfather, he said, "Would you like to accept Christ?" My grandfather said, "No." Ray Alexander said, "Well, if you ever decide to accept Christ, pray a prayer like this." And as he told my grandfather the prayer, my father prayed the prayer sitting on the steps. And then I got saved, and then a lot of people have gotten saved. By the way, I led my grandfather to the Lord 45 years later. Then I was thinking about this guy that shared Christ with him, and so I said to my father, do you remember his name? He said, yes, Ray Alexander in El Dorado, Arkansas. So I called, back then you called directory assistance, it was a... So I looked it up on the internet, let me say that. No, there wasn't an internet. So I called, and the guy answers the phone. My grandfather's name was Joe Morris, and I said, do you remember Joe Morris? And he said, yes, I still pray for him to this day. I said, well, I'm his grandson. Did you know that my father accepted Christ sitting on the steps that night that my grandfather didn't accept Christ? He said, I didn't know that. I said, well, I became an evangelist. For 7 years, I was an evangelist, and now a pastor, and many people have accepted Christ because of you. And I wanted to say thank you, but I wanted you to know that I led my grandfather to the Lord before he went to be with the Lord, before he died. And this guy said, I said you prayed for him every day. He said, I do. He said, in the back of my Bible, I have the names of every man that I've ever witnessed to. And I pray for them until they accept Christ. And he said, when they accept Christ, I put a check beside their name. And your grandfather was the only name in the back of my Bible that doesn't have a check beside it. But when we get off the phone, I'm going to put a check beside his name. A deacon at a church. I said, how many names do you have in the back of your Bible? He said, I'm not sure, but I know it's over 100. One man leads over 100 people to Christ, shares Christ. And then look how it goes. I'm telling you, life-giving farmers, that's what God's called us to be. If you'll plant and water seeds, the harvest will be huge. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to just take a moment, like we do every weekend, and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? And I'm really praying that we will win more people to Christ this year than any other year, that we'll share our story more than we've ever have, that we'll witness and share the gospel more than we ever have. I'm asking God to do an impartation in all of our hearts that we go out of here empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. We want to pray for you. If you need prayer about something specific in your life, a job, finances, health, family, marriage, don't ever leave church, a church service, and have a prayer need and not have someone pray with you. Scripture, Jesus says, if two of you will agree, it'll be done. If we agree and it's God's will, we know if we pray according to his will, he hears us and we have the petitions if we're praying according to his will. But the way we know his will is to pray and to read his word. So if you need prayer for any area of your life, then in just a moment, we're going to have one more worship song and we're going to have leaders at the front of every campus, at the front of every overflow room. And if you need prayer for any area of your life, you don't have to be a member of Gateway Church to come for prayer. We want to pray for anyone that needs prayer. And maybe you need to give your life to the Lord or give your life back to the Lord. Or maybe you want to pray about someone you're trying to share Christ with. But if you need prayer for any area of your life, as soon as we stand, then you just stand out, stand up, step out, come to the front, let us pray with you, all right? Holy Spirit, I pray you'll draw every person at every campus that has any prayer need. In Jesus' name, amen.